Good afternoon from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for listening. Contract negotiations between the Juneau School District and the Juneau Education Association stalled Thursday when both sides declared an impasse. This comes as the district and the teachers' union enter their 6 month of negotiations. In a joint press release, the district and the union cited state education funding uncertainty as one of the obstacles in negotiations. Governor Mike Dunleavy vetoed more than $50 million in state education funding this year. The Alaska legislature is scheduled to meet in a special session this Saturday to vote on overriding the veto. The district is also waiting to see how a proposed state regulation change for municipal funding contributions and a federal disparity test appeal will impact its budget. District and union representatives could not be reached Monday for comment. Negotiations began in February this year. The district's initial proposal included a 2.5% salary increase for the contract's first year and a 1.5% salary increase the second year. The district is also proposing an additional 1% retirement plan match and flat funding for health insurance contributions. JEA's proposal includes a 10% raise in salaries for both years and for the district to cover 85% of health insurance premiums. The district estimates JEA's proposal would cost nearly $28 million more than its version. The district and union will now enter mediation. Both parties also declared an impasse during the previous bargaining cycle in 2022, which lasted more than a year. Northern Panhandle communities enjoyed sunshine and warm temperatures over the weekend, but today brought a heat advisory. The National Weather Service issued the advisory for Juneau, the Upper Lynn Canal, Gustavus, Hoonah, Tenakee Springs, and Yakutat, where temperatures were expected to reach 80 degrees. It's the first ever heat advisory for Juneau and much of the region, though the Weather Service issued similar advisories for Haines Highway and Clocquan earlier this summer. Heat advisories are new for Alaska. National Weather Service forecaster Grant Smith says they started issuing them this year after establishing localized criteria that allows them to distinguish extreme heat conditions in Alaska from the lower 48.
We're just not used to those warmer temperatures. And so we're starting off just working with our state climatologist and local management. We kind of right now we have a threshold of 80 degrees is our starting point. And then we'll adjust as need be going forward.
Smith says Alaskans generally are not used to such high temperatures since they don't happen very often. That can make it more dangerous for people with health issues and for pets.
When we get to these warmer temperatures on sunny days, a car parked in a parking lot in the sun in 80-degree temperature, the inside of the car can reach over 100 degrees in 15 to 30 minutes.
He also says that many people who have spent time outside Alaska notice that it often feels much warmer here than what the thermometer shows. Part of that has to do with the sun's angle.
It's so much more direct on us because it's so much higher up. It just, all that sun's energy is beaten down right on you more directly, and so it feels warmer.
Cloudy conditions are expected to return in the coming days, but while the warmth persists, it's important to stay hydrated, wear sunscreen, and keep an eye out for heat exhaustion. A dead humpback whale calf washed ashore near Juneau's Douglas Harbor on Saturday. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration officials completed a necropsy on Sunday, but don't yet know how it died. The dead whale drew a somber crowd this weekend. Franklin Pierce was one of the onlookers. He's a local photographer who's lived in Juneau for nearly 50 years. He says it's odd to see humpbacks in the Gastineau Channel.
So I've just been documenting this unusual situation. I've never seen a whale in this area before, let alone a dead one.
And as the tide came in, Pierce snapped pictures of the bloated male calf. It was upside down, bobbing partly out of the water. Julian Caballero was among the crowd watching.
It wasn't even that bloated a couple hours ago, so it must be pretty fresh.
He says it's sad to see such a young whale dead. He saw NOAA researchers tie a buoy to the body, and then a Coast Guard boat towed it through the channel to an area where researchers could do a necropsy. The NOAA Fisheries Alaska Marine Mammal Stranding Network completed the necropsy on Sunday, but a spokesperson said the tissue samples that helped determine a cause of death can take months to analyze in a laboratory. And members of the Juneau Off-Road Association have been volunteering their weekends this summer to construct the capital city's first ever dedicated off-road vehicle park. KTOO's Clarice Larson visited the site out the road and has a story.
Just beyond Sunshine Cove off Glacier Highway, Stephen Mattson is hard at work clearing brush in the beaming sun on Saturday afternoon.
We're out clearing one of the trails. Basically involves a lot of bushwhacking.
Mattson is the vice president of the Juneau Off-Road Association. He and a handful of volunteers are working on the phase one construction of Juneau's first ever dedicated off-road vehicle park.
You know, it's very special.
Off-roading is a thrill-inducing recreational activity that gained popularity in the 1990s. It involves riding motorized vehicles like jeeps or dirt bikes on unpaved trails or terrain. The project is in collaboration with the City and Borough of Juneau's Parks and Recreation Department and Trail Mix. Right now, they're constructing the first 5 miles of an interactive trail system specifically for off-road vehicles like jeeps, side-by-sides, quads, and motorcycles.
It's really been a combined or collaborative effort between all these different associations and people groups for this. And so it's neat to see that level of participation in the community and that level of willingness to see this thing come to fruition.
The city's planning commission approved the site just past the 35-mile marker to be developed more than 2 years ago. It's on roughly 175 acres of city land that was formerly a logging area in the 1950s and 60s. The location was chosen in part because it's far away from traffic in high-density residential areas. Mattson says he's been off-roading since 2003, when he bought his first Jeep. Ever since then, he can't get enough of the sport or the community of riders in Juneau.
You know, the sense of accomplishment is really neat. And then, of course, the sense of camaraderie with everyone else. You get stuck out there and they won't leave you hanging. You know, there's always someone who can throw a winch at you or laugh at you, you know, while they're pulling you off a rock.
Shelley Lager stands in the giant parking lot of the site, cooking cheeseburgers for the volunteers. She's also a member of the Juneau Off-Road Association.
So as of now, we just don't have a place, and they've been trying for decades to try to provide a place legally for people to ride.
Lager is also a Jeep rider. And like Mattson, she grew up off-roading in Juneau back when there was more places people could legally ride. But over the years, those were closed off or shut down. She and her husband have resorted to traveling to places like Haines or the Yukon to go adventuring.
I mean, it's just the passion of being able to go somewhere, do something that you're passionate about. And with this, it's a little different than skiing, but I think it's just the same thrill kind of thing.
The park is planned to be open for day use once the phase one construction is complete. But when that will happen depends on how much volunteer support the project receives to get the work done. Lager says the group hopes to expand the trails in the coming years, along with adding a test track area and a two-lane mud racing pit. She says the goal is to provide a space for existing riders to get their fill and invite new people to try out the sport. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And the Trump administration wants to eliminate the federal agency that's helped Alaska villages develop infrastructure with more than $2 billion over the decades. Alonia Nyden with the Alaska Desk reports.
The cut is in the Trump administration's budget proposal for the federal fiscal year that begins in October. It is an effort to curtail what they call taxpayer waste and reduce the federal role in local economic development. Julie Kitka is the federal co-chair at the Denali Commission. She says previous administrations have made similar proposals, and she's optimistic about the commission continuing its work.
We take it seriously, but we're very hopeful that we'll be identified and funded in the appropriations process.
The president's skinny budget outlines the administration's funding priorities, but Congress has the final say, expected in legislation in September or later. Congress created the Denali Commission in 1998 to work in partnership with the federal government, state, and tribes to address rural Alaska's needs. Since then, the agency has been helping villages develop power generation facilities, transportation infrastructure, and water and sewer systems. It has also provided job training and funded over 150 rural health clinics.
We have priority on small and distressed communities environmentally threatened. So it is a rural infrastructure project.
Just earlier this month, the commission received around $100 billion to upgrade fuel tanks in 10 Alaska villages. Bill Stamm is the chief executive officer at Alaska Village Electric Cooperative, which partnered with the commission on this and many other projects. Stamm says that one benefit of the Denali Commission is that villages can use its funding as a match for other federal programs.
It would be a great loss to rural Alaska if the Denali Commission went away.
The administration said in a budget proposal that it wants to cut the Denali Commission, along with five other similar regional agencies, because states understand their local issues best and can address them more effectively. The state of Alaska is already a partner and a co-chair on the Denali Commission. In fact, just last week, Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy spoke highly of the commission's fuel tank project. Nils Andreasen is the executive director of Alaska Municipal League, also represented on the commission. Andreasen says that the agency works so well because it is embedded in local issues.
So it's kind of federal government at its best. It's close to the people, it's working with local and regional partners, and it's delivering results.
The House Appropriations Subcommittee already plans to consider funding the commission instead of accepting the president's proposed cut. Kitka says that's a good sign. Overall, Kitka says Alaska is growing in national and international importance, and she believes the administration will recognize the infrastructure needs in a state in such a strategic location.
There is really important work that needs to be done in our state for the resilience of our communities and our people to deal with the challenges that are just growing. You know, warming of the Arctic and increased transit, the access for natural resources, trade, and so forth.
Kitka says she will continue working with the House and Senate to make the case for the commission. If the commission is cut, they plan to shut down for a year and transfer remaining responsibilities and funding to another agency. In Anchorage, I am Alona Naiden.
And as for the weather here today, it's currently 80 degrees and sunny. There's a heat advisory in effect until 8 p.m. tonight. Tonight, it's supposed to cool down, and there's a 30% chance of rain. That percent chance increases over the day tomorrow with a high of 67 degrees. The rain is likely to continue until Wednesday, where it may get clear again. You're listening to KTOO. For more news, go to ktoo.org.